5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Everything You Need to Know About Music, where tonight I am here with Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
And Susan is here with me. Say hi, Susan.
Hi.
Sweet. All right, so this is part B. Scott is going to teach me about somebody that I don't think I know anything about. Scott, who are we going to do tonight?
It's so funny that you mentioned this. So, hi, how you doing? Appreciate you having me on here to talk about this particular person. This is a person who influenced me with a lot of different aspects of his music. He's also inspired numerous people that I probably can't even mention because it's just so hard to go into. So let me just mention who it is.
All right, go ahead. All right, go.
So this is Alice Cooper.
Okay. I know a little bit. No.
Let me just...
I could pick him out in a lineup.
Let me start him out by saying Damien Vincent Furner.
Okay.
Which was his real name.
All right, got it.
He started in like 1968, 67, when him and his friends were... They were a running team.
Oh, okay, like a track team.
In Phoenix, Arizona,
okay.
High school. Three guys decided that they wanted to form a band.
Okay.
So they formed this band basically by telling each other, it's like, you're going to play guitar, you're going to play bass, I'm going to sing, it's going to work out great.
Just figure it out.
They didn't know how to play any instruments. They went up on stage for the talent show, and they called themselves the Spiders.
Okay.
So they put this spider web behind their stage, and they all wore Beatles wigs because they were influenced by the Beatles.
No way.
They get up and they do this show and they mimic Beatles songs by making it look gross because of the spiders, and they made this little thing. They won the talent show.
Come on.
They loved the fact that everybody loved them and was clapping. They thought this music thing was a big deal.
Right.
A few years later, they had a couple new members, and the Alice Cooper Band was formed.
Why Alice Cooper?
So that's the funny story.
Wait, before you even get there, Suze, do you know a lot about this?
I don't know anything about this. I don't know the history, too much history on Alice Cooper. I do know that
Does he play
Scott,
a lot of songs for you? Like, does he play a lot of Alice? Yes. Oh, he does.
The sad part is that she probably knows as much Alice Cooper as I do. And the fact is she just doesn't like knowing it.
Okay.
I skip a lot of them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He puts them on my playlist and I skip them.
Okay.
I sneak them in.
All right.
So
go ahead. All right. So why Alice Cooper?
So the funny part is the legend is that the band got together and they were using an Ouija board.
Okay.
And they used this Ouija board and it came up with these letters that spelled the name of Alice Cooper, which was a legendary witch from back in the 17th century.
Okay.
This is all legend.
Right.
It's not true. When you talk to Alice nowadays, he tells you that the band got together and they thought of a funny name to actually name their band that sounded like a little old lady, and he came up with the name Alice Cooper.
Got it. Okay.
Basically, for the first 3 years, they thought it was a little blonde lady.
Okay. All
right. And they found out later on. And Alice actually, or Damien at the time, would actually dress up in an old lady's outfit when they went out and performed.
What is the deal with him and this goth? Like,
so that's where it came up with. So
when their first album
came out, that was so they didn't actually have anybody to actually produce them.
Were they originals?
Like, he was all writing original music.
So he's writing all this stuff.
He's writing all original music. The first two albums they did was Pretty's for You and Easy Action. These two albums were produced by none other than one of the greats, Frank Zappa.
Come on.
The only way that he could get them to produce them. So Alice actually, he went to California. They went to Los Angeles. They started playing out at bars. And they started doing these little gigs. They were playing out with different things. And so they tried to say, well, look, we got to get a record out. They wrote to Frank Zappa over and over again, went to his house, waited in the morning until he got up so they could perform in his driveway.
Stop.
And Frank Zappa actually signed them to a record deal because he thought they were a comedy act.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of the name and the fact that there was no girl in the band. And,
yeah.
Okay, who's Alice Cooper? And you say,
yeah, because it kind of doesn't fit.
And they say, he goes, okay, look, I'm going to give you all two albums. We'll see how it works. Well, Frank said that there was something there. The first two albums were hard to listen to. I tell you this being
if you
a fan.
Say yeah.
Okay. They are very difficult to enter you. Now, there's a couple great songs. Shoe Salesman. There's a couple songs I could tell you about, but I'm not even going to play for
all
them.
Right.
But they're not that. They're not the songs.
Okay.
Later on, Bob Ezrin came in because Frank said, you know, that this band has got something. So he adds Bob Ezrin. Bob Ezrin was one of the greatest music producers from the day.
Okay.
Produced Kiss. He produced... he helped with Led Zeppelin.
Did he go to California at the time to do this then?
This is all in California.
Yep.
So once he was able to get with Bob, Bob was able to start telling, well, listen, we're going to start working on a different album. We're going to start pushing you in a different direction. And he came out with an album called Love It to Death. Love It to Death had his big hit, I'm 18. The funny part was, is when he played this song on the radio, or he played it in the band in the bars, Bob thought it was he was saying, I'm edgy. Because of the way that they sang the song. And then after they played
it. Is that still one of his really big hits?
That was his biggest hit. At the time.
Pull it up.
18?
Yeah.
So if you listen to the song at first, now this is actually a cleaned up version because Bob Ezrin actually gave them music lessons.
No.
So that they could actually play their instruments better. And mind you, let me tell you, in 1973, Rolling Stone gave Alice Cooper Band the best band of the year
Come
in Rolling
on.
Stone. That was the album I'm getting ready to get to.
All right, okay. All right, give me a sec. Let's hear this.
Lines form on my face and hands.
What year is this?
This would be 1971.
Okay.
I'm in the middle without any plans. I'm a boy and I'm a man. I'm 18 and I don't know what
Not edgy.
I am.
Yeah. Got it.
So
okay.
It's very basic.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
this is not one of the songs that I would normally play to try to introduce you to Alice Cooper as being
a great
musician.
No, but I see where he's coming
musician.
From. Okay. Okay.
Now, before I get into too much other stuff that he's done.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Sorry. When you say he's a musician, does he do more than just sing?
Yeah, he actually plays guitar.
He does play guitar. Okay.
Yeah, and he actually writes all his songs, which is a really unusual thing for me. And I'm going to get into something later, but he writes all his songs on his own. He can play piano.
He's quite accomplished. He's a talented guy.
When you see him in concert, you never see any of that stuff because he doesn't bring a guitar out. He doesn't bring a piano out. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He just does it for the writing.
Because he's mainly a showman, right?
He's a showman, and he knows how to make it work. I wanted to get into a little bit of stories about Alice.
Okay.
So the reason I wanted to get into stories about Alice because I didn't want you to just focus on the fact that he was able to write all these great songs with his first band. His first band was great, and I'm going to get into one of those particular songs.
Okay.
But the thing about Alice Cooper was he was able to actually friend more people than you would ever understand. He was friends with Groucho Marx.
Wow.
He was friends with George Burns. He used to play golf with George Burns and Johnny Carson every Sunday.
Come on.
And he still plays golf to this day. Now, Alice Cooper struggled with alcoholism and different things, so he actually went into alcohol rehab two or three different times before he finally actually got it under control.
Okay.
And his wife, Cheryl Cooper, who also stayed with him all this time, helped him get through this. But one of his best friends who helped him get through rehab was Dick Van Dyke.
Come on.
See, these are the things that I wanted to bring up.
That's
because
crazy.
He was
How is he immersed in this
He was
Hollywood?
So immersed in Hollywood
yeah.
because he was such a big fan of the old school Hollywood style.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was big into that. He wrote his songs with stories. Once he got it started getting into that, he started like being friends with all these different musicians. He used to be best friends and had a big downfall with one of the greatest musicians of all time, Jim Morrison.
Come on.
He used to be his drinking buddy. They used to drink together to the point where they would fall asleep and pass out together.
No way.
Now, because of the fact that Jim Morrison died and went off, and Alice got real, real, real bummed out about that and actually wrote a song about it called Desperado, which is really great.
Right.
And I would play that song for you, but I don't think you like it as much.
Okay.
But what I wanted to get to is the fact that he had so many different friends that did these different things. So he got to, once they got to, the band got really good, and they started being really, really great. They started performing all these great songs. They started getting in the Rolling Stone. People started noticing them.
Right.
So they go in the studio. This is back in the day when you could go into the studio, and you would be recording a song, and Paul McCartney and the Wings would be down at one end, and Pink Floyd would be at the other end, and everybody would be playing songs. Yeah. So they were in the studio. They're recording this album called Billion Dollar Babies.
Billion Dollar Babies.
Billion Dollar Babies was one of Alice Cooper's strongest albums. It was actually had more hits on that album than any of his other albums. Elected. It had also a couple crazy songs like I Love the Dead and Sick Things, which I'm not going to get into. But one of the big songs was Billion Dollar Babies. Neil Smith, the drummer of Alice Cooper, used to get in a battle with Bonzo.
Come on.
About how many drums he had. So they used to battle back and forth, and him and Keith Moon used to call each other up. How many drums you got?
So these guys were like,
they were all friends with everybody. So it was really cool that they had such a great, you know, camaraderie that's back in the day that you don't have nowadays.
All right, let me ask a naive, maybe unfair question, and maybe it's just because I don't know him well enough. How is he then not more popular, or is that by design? Is he more of a, if you know, you know, kind of an artist? Like,
been one of those things that he's actually wondered about. He never even got in the Hall of Fame until 2011. And when in 2011, it was the Alice Cooper band that got into Hall of Fame, not Alice Cooper, which he wanted. He didn't want him to be.
So he's way bigger than I know of.
In essence, because of certain things.
I think that he is bigger than you probably know. I mean, he's got a ton of followers. People follow him all over the place.
And it's not just, it's
did I just not get the music when I got into classic rock and all
No,
that?
It's not that. It's that you probably got into music that he influenced.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know, like that's fair. You think about Kiss.
Yeah.
You think about Marilyn Manson. You think about any band that's out there, even Bowie when he started wearing makeup.
So wait a minute.
Alice was doing this stuff beforehand.
When you say this stuff, I want to be specific. Like that
theatrical shows.
Okay.
To like that. And I think that that's why a lot of people kind of veered away from him and didn't like him, because they didn't like the theatrical part of it.
Yeah.
So maybe you would have liked the music. You had to.
I see what you're
saying. You know, like Dylan had... You think about the thing that Dylan had. He had a story in each song.
Right.
When Cooper would put an album out, he had a story in an entire album. So his concert would be an entire show.
Got it.
So when he would do certain things, every album that he did had a theme. So each song had a story that had
to be part of that theme. I see what you're saying.
And he was really great at writing shows. But I don't want to get into that part.
But that helps
me, though. Play this particular one song because I think that you'll get a kick out of this simply because, or the story that I was telling about the fact that he was able to go into a studio back in the day when you were able to play.
Yeah.
So he was playing the song Billion Dollar Babies, which I'm getting ready to play.
All right.
So down the hallway, he needed somebody else to sing this one part of the song, which I know you've heard this song before.
Yeah, have I?
And there's this high-pitched voice in the back of it that does a second verse of the song.
Okay.
And you don't know who that person is, and they never revealed who it was.
Is there any way, before you tell me, is there any way I could guess it?
I'll let you try.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's try that.
Okay. See if you can guess who the voice is the second verse of this song.
All right.
The great drum part of Neil Smith. Let's hear it. This is good stuff. Wait for you to hear the voices.
All right. Okay.
The first voice is Alice Cooper.
Okay.
Second voice is who I want you to try to guess who it is.
You're telling me the high harmony.
Somebody who walked down the hall and said, hey, listen, I want you to sing a song. Come in here and just do this part.
This is going to be great.
And this is a very famous singer.
Okay. All right. Let me hear it first. This right here. Oh, wait, it does sound familiar. Oh, man. I should know that.
Just the lyrics themselves.
Hold on, stop. I'm so scared your little head will come off in my hands. No, who is it?
That is none other than Donovan.
Come on.
And Alice loves telling this story because Donovan was such a pure heart.
Yeah.
And he brought him in to sing this song about dead babies. Yes.
Holy smokes. It's a rockin' song. That's Donovan. No
and this
way.
Is the this is the time when Alice Cooper actually his band got nominated for being and being the band of the year. So their band themselves were so strong and so tight they were able to do this stuff.
Wow.
Now this was the second to the last album. They did one more album after this, which was called Muscle of Love.
Okay.
And then after that the band broke up.
And he went solo.
And he went solo. When he went solo, he actually took on the name Alice Cooper as his own name. Before then,
okay, until you came to do this, I thought that was his name.
Everybody did.
But
when he was in the band Alice Cooper, that was the name of the band.
Got it. And he took the name.
And he took the name and made it his own after that and went on his own.
Well, he was the front man in all fairness, right? I mean,
he was the front guy and he was the guy wearing the dress and the crazy stuff in the front.
So
and everybody figured
right.
it was Alice Cooper.
Yeah, right.
And he did all the theatrics with the old band. He had the guillotine. He had the blood. He had, you know, he threw, everybody used to make jokes that he bit chickens or stepped on things.
Yeah, there's always all those legends,
The only legend that's actually true is that one time he was at a concert, somebody threw a live chicken on the stage. So at the time, because they were all drinking and partying, he threw the chicken back out thinking that it was going to fly away. Chickens don't fly.
Right, yeah.
So when it landed in the audience went nuts and tore it apart and threw pieces back on the stage. So people kept thinking that Alice Cooper tore it apart.
Got it.
When Alice Cooper told this story to Zappa said, don't tell anybody anything different.
Yeah, let them think. Yeah, it's great publicity.
Let that go.
Yeah, let it go. You don't want to argue.
So then he went on to do his own stuff. When he went on to do his own stuff, Bob Ezrin actually gave him a studio band. The studio band that he gave him was amazing.
Really?
The first album that he came out with, it was his own, was Welcome to My Nightmare. This Welcome to My Nightmare album was off the charts, number one. It went great. It did good.
Wow.
All these, he did these
what
shows.
Year is that? What year is that? You're
talking about 75.
Five, okay.
1975, he did that one. That's not the album I want to play.
Okay, all right.
So the album that I want to go to is an album called Goes to Hell.
Okay.
Alice Cooper's Goes to Hell album was one of the best albums for music because of the fact that he was able to write music stories that, I don't know, there's just something about the way he was able to tell a story. In the Welcome to My Nightmare album, it was a story about a person waking up from a nightmare. So the whole album had a story around it.
So it's a concept album.
He actually had Vincent Price step on with him on the album.
Wow.
He had a little story about the nightmare, then going to a child, and then ending. So in the Goes to Hell album, the interesting part about that was he was able to write a song about going to hell and meeting the devil. The interesting part about him writing this story is he knows a lot about that because his father was a minister.
Oh, my goodness.
And being the fact that he was raised really strict Catholic, he knows a lot about religion. He knows where to step his bounds and where not to go.
Right.
And even though he was writing all this evil stuff, no one ever pushed him over the limit like a Black Sabbath kind of thing.
Yeah,
devil worshiping thing. It was always just kind of like right there on the edge. So the reason that I wanted to play this next song is I wanted to show you the showmanship that he had.
Okay.
So this, without playing the whole album, I wanted to play one song, which is called Give the Kid a Break.
Okay.
Give the Kid a Break is a story about him showing up and meeting the devil for the first time. He actually plays the part of himself, and then he plays the part of the devil. He does two different voices in the song. So the devil
brilliant.
Is actually one part, and he's the other part, and he's arguing with himself. And it's a really neat little
story. Oh,
that's
really cool.
So listen to this song.
All right, go ahead.
And you'll like the way it's actually done because it's a little bit like an old style
don't
music.
Noah, I'm down here. Must be something I said.
Wait, that's 1959 right there.
He's telling the story. He's telling you why I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here.
In my soul, in my head.
And you haven't gotten to the devil yet.
Don't know why I'm down.
You played it, I would never guess it's Alice Cooper.
Exactly.
Never.
That's why I played it. Allegations.
Why don't you give the kid a break?
Uh-oh.
Don't you think maybe we could talk this over? You're a reasonable man.
Yeah. Those that are listening can't see the dancing that is coming out of Scott right now. But it is definitely worth noting.
Okay, now here's the devil.
Right. I'm a miserable man, and I'm in the front band. Give the kid a break.
Well,
give the kid a break.
All right, so I made a few mistakes. Listen.
It's theater. Seriously.
It is theater.
Okay, it's theatrical.
That's exactly what I was pointing out.
Seriously.
So when he came to this point, he was actually able to write songs that were able to be part into a show. So each of his shows were big theatrical productions. He would have singers, dancers. He did stage acts with guillotines, with different types of props on
the
stage.
That's the only thing I know about him is when I would see him on TV or catch a concert or something while flipping, is his theatrics, his stage presence is incredible.
He was the first one to do this.
Was he really?
So you think about this particular part. The only reason he did this is because he wanted people to come to a concert and actually see a show rather than just see a guitar solo, a drum solo,
listening,
and be done.
Watching.
So you're seeing
it.
Something else going on besides that. He's got so many different things. Every one of his shows were different. Every one of his shows
Have you
were
seen
unique.
Him live?
I've seen him live more times than I can count.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And the shows are...
Oh, yeah. So Every one of them were great. I actually got to meet him the last show I went to see, and I got to take my son to see him, Brandon. How you doing, bud? And I got to take him to see him, and we both got our picture taken with him.
No, that's amazing.
So it was really cool. I didn't get to talk to him too long because it was rushed in and out, but, you know, it was great.
That's incredible. How is it hearing the music versus seeing the music?
Actually, that's the one thing. Alice Cooper has got a great way of capturing musicians. So...
You mean you as a musician?
No, capturing musicians to play for.
Because
Alice Cooper himself is a great showman.
Right.
All he needs to do is surround himself with great musicians.
Sure.
To this day, he's still got those great musicians behind him. He's got a girl guitar player, and I can't think of her name. I feel bad for not knowing it. But she is unbelievable. And his band that he's got now is great.
Really?
And that doesn't even get me to where I'm going.
To
this day now, so Alice is on his own. He's doing his own stuff now. He's also formed his own band called the Hollywood Vampires. You remember me telling you about all the stuff that he used to drink with his parties and Jim Morrison and all those guys?
Sure.
Well, they used to hang out in Vegas, and they used to get out on top of this roof in top of one of the Vegas hotels. I want to say it was the Caesar or the Grand or the MGM Grand. They used to go up on the roof and drink all the time. And him and Jim Morrison did it. Him and back in the day, it was Dick and all the guys in the Rat Pack. They would all go up there and drink. And they called themselves the Hollywood Vampires. And it was one of those things that they just did because it was just something to do. All these guys, he's lost now. Because he's been around long enough to remember it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's friends with people like Iggy Pop. And he made a joke about the fact that when he was with Iggy Pop, the last time Iggy Pop called him, he said he was telling him about what daycare to take his grandkid to. He says, 30 years ago, we were walking over crackheads in the middle of a hallway. You know, it's just a weird kind of thing that he's gotten to.
That's nuts.
So now he's formed a band called the Hollywood Vampires. And the Hollywood Vampires, he's got musicians, the three top musicians in this band are Joe Perry from Aerosmith, Johnny Depp, the actor.
Oh yeah,
he plays guitar with him, and Alice Cooper. Now they've also gotten people like Brian Johnson from AC/DC to sing with them.
Right.
They've also got Paul McCartney singing with
them.
They've got crazy people singing with them, and they've rewrote.
They do a Vegas show and they'll put it over there.
No, they actually
they tour around.
They're touring around right now on their own. They've got a bunch of different musicians to go out.
Doing the theatrical kind of thing?
He still does his own show on Alice Cooper, but he still does Hollywood Vampires on the side. He's doing two different things. Plus, he's acted in movies. Different things he's done.
Yeah.
So he's still an avid golfer.
Does a lot of charity too.
He's finally able to have licked the liquor. He actually fell off the wagon three times.
Yeah.
Before he was able to actually kick it. And he said golf was
what did it for him.
Yeah. Wow. He said he finally got addicted to something other than alcohol.
I had no idea he was this connected and this big and that. That's incredible.
Oh, it's crazy. One of the stories that I wanted to tell before I go into my Hollywood Vampires, my last song.
Okay.
he was friends with Groucho Marx.
Who, by the way, is one of my favorites, just so you know.
Oh, Groucho Marx. And don't get me started on Groucho Marx. He is my favorite comedian.
Is he really?
Of all times.
How come we haven't connected
and
on
I
this
could,
before?
I can talk about Groucho Marx forever.
So, please do. That's a whole other series.
Him and Groucho Marx used to be such good friends that Groucho used to call him periodically to say, listen, I need you to come over tonight. So Alice would come over to his house and sit next to him. And at this point, Groucho was much older.
Sure.
So he would lay in bed.
Yeah, because in the mid-70s, he's so got to be 60.
Groucho was, was still in bed. He said, when I showed up, I would have to go into his house, go up to his room where he was sleeping, and we would sit in a chair next to him. And he said Groucho would always have a six-pack of beer Bud for me because that's what at the time Alice was drinking. So we'd sit and drink and we'd watch old movies and we'd sit and watch them. And he said
how
the best part was...
How much would you pay to be just part of that?
He
Go
said
ahead,
the
sorry.
Best part was is him and Groucho. Groucho would watch these old movies. You see that old lady up there? Because I did her. You see that old lady? I did her. And he says they would do that. He said Alice would sit there and watch these movies until he looked over and Groucho was snoring. He would cover him up, take his beer,
way.
And go home. All the time.
I love it.
He said it was one of his favorite memories.
I like him more now just because of that.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
just little things like that. I mean, you know, him and Dick Van Dyke being such friends. Dick Van Dyke sat by his bed for 4 days while he went through rehab for the first time, holding his hand, making sure that he was able to get through it without, because Dick Van Dyke himself
went through
such an alcoholic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Holy smokes.
He did a lot of this stuff and able to make it through it. Now, a lot of musicians, like a lot of
people... Did
you
get into Groucho because of Alice, or did you get in Alice?
No, I was into Groucho because of What's My Line.
Oh, really? Okay, see, I got into Groucho because my dad would always play the Marx Brothers movies. They would always be on. And I'm like, come on, this is ridiculous. Like, it's so old, I don't want to see this. And I finally would sit and watch.
Harpo
and
on the harp, come on.
Unbelievable. No, Chico on the piano, Harpo on
come
the harp.
Come on.
But they're the funniest, it's still, to
Even
this day, you
Zeppo.
Can put them on. You're talking
you
late 30s.
You got to have Zeppo in there just to make
you
got to
have a straight man.
You got to
have a
straight
man.
You
got to have a straight man. Yeah, okay, sorry. Let's not digress.
I'm with you, man. I'm totally
with
you.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
wow.
And Alice was a friend with all these people.
Wow.
So, I mean, he
never
would have
guessed that.
He actually did a movie with Mae West.
What?
I'm telling you. The guy has been around.
That's crazy. If you had said to me that he was into this like deep goth when you said Zappa, and I thought you were going to go down that whole path.
Yeah, well, because there's
I
another path.
I thought that
path.
That's where you were going to go. Like, I thought that's what he...
And you know,
I thought
funny,
that's kind of what he started.
You would think that, you know, someone like Alice Cooper back in the day in the 70s and the 60s, early, late 60s like that, would have been into something more than just alcohol. And actuality...
Yeah.
He was only into beer. He drank Budweiser. They actually said that when he stopped drinking, they said he was drinking 3 gallons of alcohol a day.
Holy shit.
What?
And then they finally stopped him from doing that. And that was all Budweiser.
I'm surprised.
I think
smokes.
Budweiser lost.
Yeah, they definitely, the stock went down.
That's why the stock's down now.
Holy smokes.
Before I go into that, I want to get into the Hollywood Vampires real quick. So I got to have to use your phone, your fancy little thing here. I got to play one more song from
Alice.
Called
an apple.
Yeah.
So the reason that I wanted to save this last song for last is because... when Alice Cooper joined the band Hollywood Vampires, he was able to write a lot of great songs.
Okay.
And he was friends with Jim Morrison, which, I mean, like I said, it was a big, big hole in his heart when Jim died.
Sure.
Much like a lot of people that liked him. But for Alice, it was his drinking buddy. It actually pushed him towards going off the wagon because of what happened with Jim Morrison.
Oh, wow.
So... You know, with that in mind, he had a lot of other friends that he's lost over the years simply because he's outlived them.
Yeah.
You know, little things like, you know, these artists that he, you know, George Burns and Johnny Carson, he made friends with older people.
I was just going to say, those are the old timers. Yeah, that's the previous generation of Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. He was more of a fan of Hollywood, of old time Hollywood, than he was really of music.
That's cool.
And that's why the theater was brought into what he does.
Got it.
So when he got into the Hollywood Vampires, he wrote a bunch of different songs, which are great.
And the Hollywood Vampires came out, you said, recently, but is it...
They've only been around for about two or three
Very
years.
Very recently, okay.
Yeah, they're about 2 or 3 years old.
Got it.
So, and they still got a couple albums out. They got a new album out called vampires. They're just different things. Right. But they do like, let me just give you, I'm going to give you an example of stuff
right, give
that
me an
they
example,
do.
Yeah.
So for instance, with Brian Johnson and Alice Cooper, this is them doing a song that you've probably heard called A Whole Lot of Love. But this is their version of it.
Got it.
Now, Alice starts out.
Okay. You need cooling. Yeah, there it is.
Baby, I'm not fooling.
Give it a little second. Feel the bill.
Yeah, totally. I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love. Wow, well done.
Now you got Brian Johnson stepping in.
Oh. That's a tough song to redo, and they did a really good job.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
not bad.
You, I'm telling you. See, wow. So that's just
okay.
The way, that's just a little bit of it. So the reason I wanted to play this last song for the last part of Alice Cooper is I wanted to, this is to me, I feel like is because of all the stories that I told you about Alice Cooper.
Right.
I feel like this is a song that really hits close to him, and it also hits close to me because of my age and the things that I've gone through in my
life. Okay, awesome.
So this song, without saying too much crazy about it, I'm just going to start it off, but the song's called My Dead Drunk Friends.
Okay.
And you got to remember
great,
that
Scott.
Alice wrote this up for that particular part. So this is my last song for Alice. Thank you very much.
All right, hold on, let's see.
This is pretty good, though.
Standing all alone here in a tavern full of ghosts. It's 3 a.m., we're back again. Here's my toast. The first one goes to rock and roll. The fortune and the fame. The limousines, the screaming teens that yell my name. I came here to get wasted, but it just ain't the same. I'm raising my glass and tossing it back.
Now, is this as him or is this is the new stuff? Is this
this is the actual this album came out like 2 years ago.
Wow. It sounds
just like him. Yeah, and he has not changed any of his style at all. I could play this next to one of his older songs, and it's very much similar. But the thing that's interesting about Alice is he's got that grunge rock that he knows how to make it work.
Totally.
I mean, I could turn around and play like the songs that people know, like Only Women Bleed and I Never Cry and You and Me, the big slow songs that were very popular back in the day.
Right.
And actually, when Only Women Bleed was actually played for the first time in the studio, Bob Ezrin, the producer, actually took it to different people and didn't tell anybody who was singing it and said, who is this singing it? People actually said it was, they thought it was James Taylor.
Come on.
And then they thought there was a lot of other stuff that he did that was just because of the way he was singing, because it was so different, they didn't think it was his voice.
Wow.
And he was able to write these songs that were so great, but, you know, it's the grunge that actually still, he's actually able to carry it on. And there's so much different genres with the music that he's produced that you'll never come anything close to what he's ever done.
How did he get so talented? Where did this come from?
It's simply...
just built over time? Because you had said earlier that he just... they kind of...
they really literally just came... they were in the right place at
the right time.
And because if it wasn't... I really feel like Bob Ezrin is somebody that needs to be explored because he's one who was able to create...
and develop.
And develop a band that was... he gave them the tools that they needed, but they were able to make them work. Because these were guys that didn't know really what they were doing with the first two albums, which again, I didn't play them.
Right.
But when you listen to those albums and then you listen to the ones that came on after it, you can see
night and
where
day.
They said, listen, you need to learn chords.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, it's different. All right. I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everybody at this time, which is, you've given me three songs. If you had to give me a bonus song off the cuff, just something you want to play me, just something from Alice Cooper, like, you know what? This is a great song. What would it be?
There is one song for you specifically.
Okay.
That I wanted to play.
Great. Okay.
And I will play it right now. This was off of the album Goes to Hell.
Okay.
Some of the best guitar work ever. And
really?
I say that right now.
Okay.
His name was Steve Ezrin. And he played along with this particular part.
Okay.
And this song is called Wish You Were Here, not the Pink Floyd version.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
And it's just the guitar solo itself, and I'm going to have to skip through it, but I want you to hear the beginning of it because this song is more the band than Alice Cooper, but Alice wrote this song.
Okay.
So this is my point on how he was able to write such great songs and then say, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do. And I
as
want
the, like the producer, as the arranger.
As the arranger of these songs. And so this particular song starts with my favorite instrument of all, a gong.
My favorite instrument of all, by the way. Okay.
But
what year is this?
This is from Goes to Hell. This is from 1974.
Oh, I like it already.
Yeah, and this is a totally different thing. Again, you wouldn't think this was Alice Cooper until you start singing. You got to give the guitarist a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah. A little wah-wah on there.
And it's got a double guitar playing. So there's one guitarist and another guitarist, and they both play dual leads.
Really? Oh, okay.
And he developed this. And he's talking about being in hell. I wish you were here.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can see the
build-up.
Dude,
that's musically difficult right there.
You can feel the build-up on this. The way that they were actually producing something together. He's actually singing with the guitar.
Yeah. You're saying there's two lead guitars on this. I mean, not one of them is him?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
This is, I can't think of the name. Steve Ezrin, I think, is the guitarist that's playing on this. And he actually died recently.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a long time. I want to hear the guitar solo.
Yeah. Playing.
That's what I want you to hear.
Okay.
They
totally changed time signatures. It's a totally different beat.
Wait till you get to this part right here. You can hear these guitarists fighting for the big moment.
Okay. Fighting for the big moment. I like the poetry in that, Scott. It was good.
Think about it.
Damn.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
We ain't even got this yet.
Wow.
This is a small solo just to give you a start. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Holy smokes. Glad I asked for a bonus song. That's my favorite one. Seriously.
I'm telling you. See, the thing is about Alice Cooper that people don't realize.
You know how musically difficult that is?
I know.
I mean, I know you know, but that's really hard. And they change time signatures. They change tempos. Like, he's singing while they're playing the same notes. Like, it's incredibly difficult.
And see, the funny thing the way that's just the way the song was built. So you remember the song that I was playing with Give Your Kid a Break?
Yes.
That's him going to hell. Now he's realized that he's in hell. Wow. So he plays this song, Wish You Were, Wish You Were Here, which is like he's
like
got this
hell.
Whole. Yeah, and he's got this whole. So even just for fun.
Go ahead.
This is the song that comes on after it.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Wow.
And he just changes the whole thing. See? Yeah. And he's just got this nice
ethereal
little goodbye.
And, yeah.
This is the last song on the album.
I'm going home.
It's just, I'm telling you.
Then this one should probably be the one that we let play as we are going to say goodbye.
It's so interesting how he's able to make a story.
Yeah, it's really cool.
This was the time when people would listen to an album from
front
beginning
to back.
To
right.
end
yeah, right.
and get something out of it.
Right.
You don't have that anymore.
No. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast. We've said it's not... Music isn't the same anymore. You download a song and you listen to it, as opposed to you buy an album for the purposes of sitting down and listening to it as if you're looking at it, as if you're watching a movie.
Reading the internet.
Or as if you're... Right. The liner notes. Yeah. As if you're looking at a piece of art, like you're taking it in as a whole instead of just a piece of something. That doesn't happen anymore, unfortunately. But this guy clearly did that from front to back. I mean, that's
everything.
Crazy.
I mean, listen, the production of the song right here, he's got horns, he's got violins, he's got an orchestra playing behind him. He's basically Frank Sinatra with makeup. Who actually, when he went to Vegas, he went backstage to Frank Sinatra's show, and he was friends with Frank, by the way.
That's crazy.
And Frank sang one of his songs, You and Me.
No.
Walked off the stage to Alice and said, you keep writing them, and I'll keep singing them.
No, that's
he said,
awesome.
Alice said that was one of the best compliments
be.
He
Absolutely.
Ever got.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's from The Godfather. That's crazy. All right, awesome. Well, listen, thank you so much for that. I knew nothing, and now I feel like I really do know so much more about an incredibly talented guy.
I'm telling you, honestly, any song that you listen to of Alice Cooper anymore, you think about the stuff that I've told you, it's going to make you appreciate the song.
For sure. For sure. And I'm grateful for that. All right. Well, we will ride out to this, and we will see you next time.